So you're adults, so I'll ask you a different question. Who likes to be humble? One, two, three, maybe four.
Who likes it?
Yeah, who likes to be humble? Who has been humbled? I think we all have that experience. But who likes to be humbled? That's another thing, isn't it? It sounds like you like something that is not really good. Because in the general common understanding, the expression, I have been humiliated, I have been humbled, carries negative tone versus a positive one. Yet, in the Bible, Bible is an interesting book. And here, in Deuteronomy 8:2, remember the long way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness in order to humble you. Sounds like being humble is a good thing. And the man, Moses, if you have seen the movie Ten Commandments, the old one, you don't really see Moses as a meek, humble guy, right? He's too much man and macho. But Bible also describes Moses as the very humble person, the most humble on the face of the earth. That's pretty big. So somehow Bible teaches Old Testament and also New Testament too. And it was Jesus himself saying, I am humble in heart. Humble in heart. And also, I came to serve, not to be served. And also, if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, you have to be like this, children. Innocent, but also humble. It's been emphasized, actually, all over the Bible. And sadly, in the Christian history, the humility and humbleness was described more with a negative, like a punishment, than actually a spiritual foundation that actually helps you. In a way, being humble or being humbled is a good thing. This is the way we grow spiritually. Now, here's a principle. If you don't believe anything about spiritual, then this humility goes just all the way negative. In a way of saying, only thing I learned or everything I learned going through 22 years of Korean education is the principle that I have to prove I'm better than others. Because that's how I get the reward. That's how I get the recognition. That's how I go to the better college and better job and as they were saying, better wife, if there's a better wife. And better car, better house, better, better, better. I never really wondered it until I was in high school. Simple question came to my mind. Better on what standard? Because if you see it, there can be always something that's better than what you have. Also, there's something that's always worse than what you have. So, how do you know what's better and what's not? So, whose standard is it? So, being humble, seeking the spiritual cultivation. Well, if you're on that path, then I have three kind of humilities that came into my notice, so it may cover everything you know or not, and then there are two principles that can go behind it. Number one humility that I saw or observed is that the professional humility. The people who put on action, like politicians, or even you go to the restaurant, they serve you, they have to serve you. So they bow down to you, they use very nice word and they're being very polite, but have you ever heard what they whisper when you're not there? My mother used to run Korean restaurant, so I have seen it in real action. And it was quite shocking to me. Those ladies, you know, who were like so complimenting and telling all these good things to these people sitting there, when they come backside out. Yes. So those are professional humility. And politicians do that well too, except one person, you know who. Right? Yes. Why? Because showing the act of humility has been, in a classical, historical, traditional way, showing a virtue. You're cultivated. You can tame yourself to a degree, therefore you have control of yourself. That has been somehow understood. And next is humility that is forced by the power beyond you. That's when you come in, I've been humbled in my life. You find yourself entirely, totally humbled. Or the moment you fully acknowledge that you're not really in charge of the universe or the world, not even yourself. That you are living a life that is somewhat decided and you have very narrow choices to make. I'm not saying it in a negative way, but you acknowledge how powerless you are to everything that's around you. And then come to the conclusion that I might have to accept something that is bigger. And I may be smaller than what I have been thinking about myself, which is okay. Or you just feel humiliated, or you get upset. But this humility by the power of bigger force or life itself brings upon us simply. This gives us a lot of lessons if you take it really well. And in a way, that's what Bible in the Old Testament talks about, leading them through the wilderness to make them humble. It's not about humble before other nations. They're already slaves. I mean, how much more can you be humble than a slave? But it was not about that. It was about inner arrogance. That we have our heart that is filled. There's no room. And when there's no room, there's no divine power that can flow through you. That actually makes us to be alive or makes us to feel really fulfilled. So that arrogance is amazing. And I'm very proud and happy to have two wonderful children, but I see the sign of arrogance rising as soon as they hit six. Saying like, Dad, I can do this. And like 5 minutes later, Dad! And what happens? Well, they couldn't really do that, right? Like, in a way, it's like they feel like they had to say it. Like they want to be in control, in charge. Yet at the same time, it is somewhat reluctant to admit that indeed they actually need help. But when they become like 11 and 10, what happens is that they find that I make a mistake too. Right? So it's a good excuse now. So you're wrong, Dad. Therefore, this time, I'm right. Yes. And then next time we are having conversation, the challenge goes higher because you've been wrong before. And then, of course, about 90% of time, I'm right. I make some mistakes, sure, yes, right? But it's kind of interesting. I'm talking about the human relationship between, you know, father and children. You know, we live here. How about us and God? They can see me. They can see me 24/7. I'm right there. I help them. I do everything in a way for them ever since they're born. right? My hands are all over them. But they can still do that. What about us and the invisible God? That's why the big challenge happens. And human mind is in such a way that we can create reality the way we like it, and we have an intelligence enough to justify it. So whichever it is you want to justify, you got the brain to do it. That's pretty amazing. That's why I read all the books, like especially written by atheists and all the existentialists. And if you just follow their logic, it's wonderful. It looks like nothing spiritual should exist. Yet, to me personally, I felt very empty after reading those books. So there's nothing, and I'm just animal who happened to have a brain that is intelligent. And that doesn't bring any inspiration to my heart. That actually led me to quite emptiness. So I returned back. So that's the second humility. It just forces upon us, makes our ego low, and to see there are greater things, bigger things than us. And that's when we can make a choice which way to go. We can simply be upset and angry about against everything else and accuse everybody else, or accept and move on. And the next humility is that it happens to many good leaders probably. They're not weak, they're not meek, they're very strong, very decisive, but they only think greater purpose. So whatever that is, either they are CEO of a company, they only think about the company. And their own benefit doesn't really matter. Their own idea doesn't really matter. If there's a better idea by somebody who's really low, it looks like better to the company than their own idea, they'll give it up. That's the humility. Their ego doesn't matter when it concerns what is good for the company or institution or the group or the family. So you are in acknowledgement of greater good. And you only see that, and that's your purpose. Therefore, you're open for any and every new idea, every new suggestion. Even somebody says that you're wrong, you accept it. Why? It looks like you've been wrong. And that's okay. Because being right or wrong by yourself doesn't really matter, as long as it is good for the greater group that you serve. That takes commitment and a strong will to persist on it. And Moses might have been one of those, because he's not really weak and meek and person. If that's the person, that person cannot stand in front of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and actually say those things. And by the way, he also was raised as a prince too, right? For 40 years. But when the greater good happens, yourself doesn't really matter. And this sounds like good principle, but when a person actually embodies it, that person can be very, actually, effective. And it works in any way. So these three humilities I see, and these three could be done, could happen to anyone without any spiritual background. So, to a degree, experiencing humility actually is an antidote to all of us. Now, I was talking about the two principles. First, the principle is actually in your dictionary. I got quite surprised and then, kind of nodded that, well, that's how it was. In English dictionary, being humble or humble means to not to think that you're better than anybody else. Can you actually do that? You are actively, persistently thinking that you are not better than anybody. Of course, you're not any worse than anybody either. Sometimes people think so that you raise everybody higher than you. That's humility and humbleness, and not true. The true humility and humbleness is that it kind of you have the equality in your mind. We're all equal, really equal. Like in a Buddha's last moment of the enlightenment, you know the story that the bird chased by a hunter came to him, and Buddha wanted to save the bird. But hunter came and claimed, "That's mine." So Buddha was willing to bargain with him. So first, he cut a flesh from his thigh about the size of the bird and measured it. And which one's heavier? The bird was heavier. So he cut another one from another thigh. It's a story. And put it on the scale. And which one's heavier? Bird was still heavier. So he thought, he put his whole body on the scale. Now it's equal. So that's the core principle of Buddhism, is that all life, no matter the visible size, life is equal. Okay? That's where true compassion begins. We're not any better, worse because of our size, because of our ability, intelligence, rationality, ability to use tools. As life to life, we're all equal. That's the first principle. And next principle comes more religious in a Christian way. If you're truly Christian, you believe this journey is temporary and you have a greater purpose. Whichever way you put it, your journey here is preparing for the next life. In the same context, everything that we seem to own, possess, here has no meaning. Everything actually includes titles too. Like being a pastor, professor, lawyer, president, general, doesn't really mean in the next life. I believe that is the core principle of Jesus' message. What matters the most is what you have inside of you. Your intentions. What is behind your intentions? What you love the most. That's what matters the most. Because love is eternal. And I'm not talking about the love as like when we sight in our wedding day, which is good love, which should be eternal, but we know that we go in the cycles and rhythms. But love truly, what we truly love is eternal. And that we're becoming that direction. So, but the rest of it, the way how you look, how many of you chose the way how you look when you're born? I mean, some people argued that you had the opportunity to choose that, but you forgot. I honestly don't believe that. You know, I heard from somebody that there is some religious belief that before you're born, you choose your parents and the way how you can look like and kind of life you want to live. So therefore, everything you have is your choice anyway. So don't complain. But, I mean, we didn't choose the way we want to look like. How about your intelligence, right? How about your abilities? How about your special gift? I didn't choose any of these by myself. Some I enhanced, cultivated, but it's given to me. Then what is really, really mine? That's where Swedenborgian principle with this Christian background comes in. The ones I intentionally choose because it delights me. That's the only thing that is mine forever. If you really think about it, it's pretty amazing. And if you really run that principle in your mind, you can really care less about a lot of things that is around you in the world. And by the way, you're not in charge of the world. You don't have to solve every single problem of the world, of this nation, or even of your own family. Because the truth is, you and I cannot even solve all the problems that is yours or mine. We're not here to solve problems in a way. Then why are we here? So humility, humbleness, and the principle, it connects two things. One, you're here to experience your God and how your God operates. You are the instrument. It's not like you have to go to see amazing nature to feel the divine. No, you are the most powerful instrument God uses to operate this universe. All humanity, not just Earth's humans, but maybe all other planets. And two is you are here to choose what you love the most. Because there are so many things you can choose from, and so many different ways to be delighted and joyful. What would you choose? And interestingly, each choice we make in this way, it becomes a permanent part. It makes a mark on you. The more you choose that direction, you get addicted to it. This is another theory I have, is that every human is actually an animal of addiction. We get to be addicted, either good or bad, positive, negative, anything that you have in a persistent way, if you don't have it, you get to miss it. And you, that's an addiction. In a way, it's a good thing. So, do you acknowledge those two in you? Your purpose here is to experience your Creator's operation by means of you. And two, you're here to choose what you love the most, what you're delighting the most. And the principles of humility is that if you're truly humble, you can be most filled and delighted. That's pretty amazing, actually. You're truly humble, you don't carry all the burdens of solving all the problems in the whole entire world. Because, you know, you believe everybody's equal. So everybody should solve, we all, you know, pinch in and solve the problems together. And you accept other people's opinion. And also you accept your own shortcomings and mistakes as simply mistakes. And Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Amen.